Nice beard, thank you. Wow, South Africa, Vancouver, Mexico. That's fast. Guys, this is really fast. Prague, Edmonton, Toronto, Miami, Vancouver, Lyon, Portland. Wow. Amazing, guys. Thank you. I'm not even able to read fast enough. Dubai, Johannesburg, Edmonton, Halifax, London, Monterey, Denver, Costa Rica. That's great, guys. Thank you. We have all over the world. Everyone's feeling it. Everyone's in the same situation. We'll talk a little bit about that. Vern's going to give us his perspective on what's going on and what you have to do today to be able not just to survive, but also to thrive. Wow, over 1,200 of you already live. That's really good. Dominican Republic, Iran, Kansas, India, Brussels, Barbados, Monterey, Mexico. I'm from Monterey. Panama, Antarctica, Poland, San Francisco, Australia, Kenya, Cape Town, Saltillo, Mexico, Lithuania, New York, Nigeria, Minneapolis, New Orleans. Wow. Vancouver. Awesome. Really, really excited. Thank you all. We'll start in just 1 minute here. Just allowing everyone to come in here into Zoom. New Zealand, Sao Paulo, New Jersey, Colombia, Croatia, the moon. Vern, we have it from the moon.
Oh, that's Elon Musk. He is dialed in.
For sure it's Elon Musk. All right. Okay. So let's start. Welcome all to this live presentation with Vern Harnish. Focus and discipline, the four keys to managing the chaos. We are all in this situation together. I was talking this with Vern the other day. It feels like September 11 felt in New York, but it's really all over the world. So we're all being affected. We're all in the same situation. So I think that's what we're seeing here. We're truly in a global issue, and we're truly in a global webinar and a community of CEOs. This is myself, Daniel Marcos. I'm a CEO coach with Scaling Up, and I'm also the CEO of the Growth Institute. And let me start by telling a story, and I think this is important. Growth Institute was alive exactly 12 years ago to start. This is my third crisis as a CEO myself. The first one, 2001, I had an internet company back in Latin America. 2008, I had a mortgage bank in Texas. We used to do subprime loans in Texas. And I went under. I remember 2007, I was also prime, so I closed in 2007. And I really got down. I really felt that my failure as an entrepreneur was because my company failed. So I failed as an entrepreneur, as a failure. And I talked with several entrepreneurs and I was complaining and I was really having a hard time. I was waking up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, sweating cold, had no idea how I was going to pay all the money that I owe. And Vern heard through it, through a friend. And he called me one day and said, hey, how are you? And I remember I blurb and I even cried for half hour on the phone. And Vern heard me. And when I finished, he said, are you done? And I was like, what do you mean? What's next? And I was like, Vern, what do you mean what's next? I'm just getting a hold that I just shut down my company and lost all my assets. And Vern said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go back to Mexico, get a job. I really need to pay for my kids' school and food for the house. And he said, no. You have to become a coach. You have to help entrepreneurs go through this. And I was like, no, I cannot trust myself as an entrepreneur, let alone teach other entrepreneurs how to go through this. And he told me something that has changed my life. It was pivoting in my life. He said, Daniel, you have to make sure this doesn't happen again to any other entrepreneur. And that line, that phrase, we're here 12 years later, exactly in the same situation. So that's why we created the Growth Institute. I became a coach with Vern for five or so years. And then we created the Growth Institute after that. And today we've served over 40,000 executives from 10,000 different companies in 65 countries. So this is what we're seeing today. So guys, we've been here. I want to tell you, I've been here. This is my third one. We've had our issues. We've pivoted fast. We've made a lot of big changes already at Growth Institute. I think we're going to do really, really good going up. But that's why we're here. And that's why we created the Growth Institute. Later on the presentation, we're going to have Jason and Paul sharing a little bit of their experience. Paul, just to give you an idea, 3 weeks ago, his revenues went to half immediately in a week. And with the help of Jason, they use scaling up to pivot their business. So they're going to tell us the story, how they pivot their business and what results they're having today. And this is some of the people that answered the survey before the webinar. And you could see here the comments. And of course, we're all having issues of cash flow. We're all having issues how to keep our employees, how to keep ideas and innovation flowing. But what we really like, the conclusion that we saw on the survey, is everyone is deciding not to give up. Everyone's deciding, what do I need to do to make sure I'm alive? I need to keep my company alive. I need to turn this around. And it was huge for us to see that we never saw a company this or a comment saying, this is too hard, I'm going to give up, or it's, or whatever. Everyone was talking, I need ideas, I need cash, I need to pivot, I need innovation to be able to turn around. And I thought that was huge. So congrats, guys. We're all in the same place. We're all together. Let's move forward. So if you stay in this program, this is what we promise to you. First, show you how to turn the tide so you could stabilize your business and survive and be able to boost cash. That's what we need to survive. And then how to pivot fast and be able to go to the next stage. Of course, you're going to be able to have a Q&A with Vern to ask them whatever you want. So stay till the end. And then get a chance to get a complimentary Get Off Chaos strategy call with Scaling Up. At Growth Institute, we're going to get calls to whoever wants a call. We invite you to do a survey so we get an idea of where you are and then have a call with one of our team members to really understand where you are. If we could just give you a couple of recommendations, please. So we'll tell you at the end how to do that. And then, of course, the man of the hour, Vern Harnish. Vern has been my mentor for many, many years. I met Vern in Birthing of Giants program 21 years ago. And let me tell you a little bit about Vern. Vern is the founder of the World Renewed Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, with 14,000 members. I've been a member of EO myself for 20 years. Now I'm also a member of YPO. And he has chaired the program for 15 years called Birthing of Giants. That's where I met Vern for the first time. And that's where I met his tools and everything he teaches then. Today, he's the founder and CEO of Scaling Up, a global executive education coaching company with over 180 partners in six continents. Vern has spent the last three decades helping companies scale up. He's the author of the best-selling book, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. That was the first one I read and I implemented back then, which is translated to nine languages, along with the authors of Fortune, editors of Fortune, sorry. He wrote The Greatest Business Decision of All Time, which Jim Collins wrote the foreword. And his latest book, of course, Scaling Up, Rockefeller Habits 2.0. He has won eight major international book awards, including prestigious International Book Award and the Best Journal Business Book. And that's the methodology and the book that we're all here. So Vern, thank you very, very much. Super excited to have you here. I'm going to turn off my camera and I'm going to take notes like the rest of entrepreneurs. Thank you.
Well, Daniel, first of all, thank you for sharing the story. It's been wonderful to have our partnership together, and we really are committed because, as you know, my dad had the same thing. He had built a rocket ship and then in the 73 recession lost it all. And ours was really then a rich to rags story. And my dad ended up becoming an alcoholic out of that. We ultimately had to kind of put him in, we had to put him in jail because he was out driving and drinking. And it's really a thing that tore up our family. And it's why this is a labor of love. And we really have committed, Daniel and John heading up our coaching organization, and Kristen and Doug and everybody that's in the firm, to say, hey, we just don't want to see this happen again to other folks. And so first, I want to welcome you and thank you for investing this time in what is the only tool that's going to get us out of this. And that's right between our ears. And it's really the quality and speed of our ideas and implementation that is important. And I also want to give my hats off to you. You are the first responders when this economy comes back. As we saw in the Great Recession, 92% of the job growth came from not small business, not from the Fortune 500, but 92% came from the mid-market. And so we're counting on all of us around the globe that are running these unsung hero companies in order to pull us out of this mess. We did it before, we're gonna do it again. And look, this is where we're at. I know we've all had our huge, big, hairy, audacious goals, but right now we have to sit down and face the brutal facts and lead, because panic is contagious, but so is leadership. And so the first thing we have to do is face and plan for the worst, hope for the best. And so we laid out a plan initially 3 weeks ago that said, all right, we're going to assume not one additional traditional dollar from our our existing business model is going to come in over the next 6 months. You know, we've all looked at the McKinsey, we've looked at the Goldman Sachs reports. There's a sense that the economy could drop anywhere between 9% and worst case 25%, which would be the Great Depression. And so right now I want you to kind of pull back. And your big, hairy, audacious goal, I think, is looking out about 6 months and realize that as we've been heading up, whatever your Everest has been, the storm came in and we've all read the stories and seen the movies. And so here's where we're faced right now. And that is, we have to decide as the leaders of our organization, what is the next step? And because our strategy is only as good as our next punch in the face. And I got to tell you, we're being punched every single day with new information that's rocking our world and our industries and our companies. Look, I don't know about you, but when my team or my family says, hey, what are we going to do this weekend? It's like, I'll let you know on Friday. And what are we going to do next week? And I'll let you know on Monday. And I think that's legitimate. And so right now, the way I want you to feel about it is you've been climbing Everest, the storm has come in, and right now you've got to decide, what is my next step, either up or next step down? But what you can't do is freeze in the middle of this particular process, because right now, and it was amazing, we hosted Margaret Heffernan to open up our virtual summit we had last Thursday. And she's written a book presently called Uncharted. And that's right now, we are in some uncharted waters. It's not available in the US till September, but you can go get the UK version out right now on Kindle. And Margaret said something very, very important. She said, the most important thing we've got to do right now is be ambitious. This is not a time to hide. It's not a time to shrink back. It's not a time to play not to lose. What we've got to do is make sure that we are our heads in the right space to play to win. And here's what's interesting. This is the perfect time to be ambitious because, like the Gulf War launched CNN, this COVID crisis, we know, for instance, is launching after 40 years, 3D printing. We know that overnight, distance learning, a space that we've been playing in for a decade, overnight has become hot. And there's hundreds of opportunities. I'll share some of those lists a little bit later of what is both opportunity right now in the short term and in the long term. And so first, we've got to get our mindset right as we go into this. And so I don't know about you, but we're all huge fans of strategic coach Dan Sullivan. Dan and I were in this 100K program with Joe Polish, and I spoke, and Dan and his wife Babs were there, and they said, Vern, look, let us create kind of a scorecard for your team immediately to use with clients. And so what we want to do is decide first, which one of these four columns and kind of where you are in that column are you? Are you right now feeling sorry for yourself? Are you more frustrated to don't know how to help yourself? Is it the kind of conventional success mentality? Hey, don't know that there's really anything better, so we're just going to kind of stay where we are. Or do you have a transformational mindset? And so if we could, let's run that quick survey and let's get a read on the now almost 2,500 that we've got on the program. Do I need to stop my share and give this back to you guys?
Alex?
It should be up. You guys can't see the poll?
I can't see it myself.
I can't.
Well, it says it's launched. Well, people maybe are typing in the. Yeah. I'm going to stop sharing and then see if this works. Well, looks like it's still not working.
Oh, all here right. It goes. Well, hey, let me just put the slide back up and we can send that out later because I'd really love to gather.
And people are doing, they're doing it in the chat.
Okay, good. So anyway, the first thing I think you've got to do is decide where's your head. And one of the things that Dan Sullivan said is the folks that are going to benefit most from what I'm going to share and in our scaling up methodologies are those that are either in frustration, number two, or in transformation. There's the quick poll that has popped up. Those that really have a failure mindset, I'm not so sure we're going to be that helpful on this particular presentation. And those folks who think, hey, I already know it all, that's going to be tough as well. And so it's number two and number four we find are the most effective mindsets for us to be able to move forward. All right, if we could, you think we've got enough time to pull that down, Alex? All right. And so, given where you are, and now I've lost.
Let me just give results while you okay. get that. 79% transformative, 9% conversational success, 12% frustration, 1% failure.
All right. So I'm going to have to unshare.
80% of you are transformative.
And share again, somehow or another, that. Okay. Sorry, you guys. We are starting ugly, as Chris's book is called. All right. Let me just pop back here. Okay. So given that. You guys are watching the sausage being made here. I want to really talk about what are the couple of things that you've got to do then if you're going to lead. And I really take a quote from Scott at Atlassian. Scott and Mike started that company back in 2002 when they had 50 employees. They came to my scaling up workshop in Sydney, Australia. And that's when they began to adopt our tools. Well, you guys know the rest of the story. That company's rocketed. I just checked their market cap a moment ago. They're still at $33 billion in market cap. And as they went from 50 employees to 3,600 employees, Scott, who I was just with a few months ago, I was actually going to be keynoting his big event in Vegas that obviously had to be canceled. He said, look, a lot of things have changed, but not these fundamentals that we've had in place from the very beginning. And he was quoted at the back of my book saying that it's precisely these two things, discipline and focus, that have been critical for him to be able to navigate both now and over all these years of scaling. And so I want to come back to this idea of discipline and focus. And we've always, from the very beginning, talked about these three disciplines. And as coaches working with clients right now, I've got my one client mine. We last Thursday, closed on right at $40 million in new funding right here in the middle of this COVID crisis. Look, nobody could have believed that could have been possible, but we did it. They did it. What an amazing team. And it's all been around, if there are issues in the firm today, this week, or this year, it's one of these three issues. First, you're either working on too many things or you're working on the wrong thing. And the only way to know what to work on next, what step to take up or stay down, is to make sure that you have got the right data. I've been sharing a lot of the webinars over the last few days that we go back to what is the oldest profession in history. And by the way, it's the profession that has determined who has won wars and who has won markets. And that is intel, intelligence. And right now, whoever can learn fast, decide fast, and act faster than this crisis in the market are to be the ones who win. I'm going to come back to that, but it's about gathering firsthand data and information quickly, particularly with your market, with your existing customers and the customers you think you're going to be able to grow out of this next. And then it does no good to have all this data if you don't get in a room and you talk about it. And I want to emphasize that you cannot think your way out of this mess. You can only talk your way out. And if I were to suggest the most important KPI right now, that is not the number of minutes, but the number of hours that you are on the phone talking to your team, to customers, to market, to suppliers, to potential partners that are going to allow you to rebuild. Because this we know for sure, if you're practicing the same business model today as you had 30 days ago, you're probably going out of business. And so we're all going to have to pivot and either build or rebuild quickly. Now, if you look at these things in reverse, when it comes to the traditional meeting rhythm we talk about, the day, week, month, quarter, year, here seems to be the pivot, particularly in the crisis. You want more meetings, shorter. So for instance, a lot of our clients are going to 2 daily huddles, check in the morning, making sure that everybody is clear on the team, what their focus is for the day. And here's what's amazing about focus. Focus actually drives calm. And as many of you may have seen in one of my daily messages a week ago, the key is, and I've been practicing it still right now, what is it I'm going to do in the next hour? And then I give myself permission to get up, take a break, get a little bit of sun on my face, grab something to drink, and then I decide, all right, what's the thing I'm going to do the next hour. And it's amazing if you can you and your team can take it 1 hour at a time with real clarity based on then data of what we have to work on next, the next step up or the next step down that particular Everest mountain you're climbing, that's going to keep everybody calm. And the way that you keep morale up, and we saw the data that Amplify, our partner who's got the technology platform, they luckily got $15 million from Edison Partners just before this crisis hit. They've got a free tool that allows us to monitor the remote health, both physical, mental, and other, and morale of our teams. And by the way, it's a lot worse than you think that your teams are letting on. It's powerful then that if we're going to keep up morale, we want everybody within the organization to have clarity around what are the little wins. And that's what you have to piece together, are little wins. So in summary, you want to start with more frequent meetings, but shorter time. Those of you from EO, YPO, and others that are in forums, lucky enough to be in a group like that, you want to move from the monthly, that's going to be 3 hours, to weekly, that's going to be 45 minutes. You want to then talk about real data, what's happening, not what you're reading on the news. And then based on that, what is it that we have to do next? So those three fundamental disciplines are exactly the same in any kind of market situation. Difference is you've got to shorten dramatically the time frames. A little side note, a lot of us talk about setting SMART goals. I was really impressed a few months ago when at MIT Sloan Review, they came out and said, we really think SMART ought to be replaced with the acronym FAST. And boy, it couldn't be more appropriate right now. And that really means four things. Whatever you've set as the theme, and I think really it's important to start talking about what's the theme of the day, what's the theme of the week. In Silicon Valley, those are those typical 1 week or 2 week sprints. By setting kind of a theme, what you want to do is you make sure you frequently discuss it. So if you've seen my five C's of leading in a crisis, we can make that available again. The first C is making sure that in addition to those daily huddles, that you are communicating out daily to your team, giving them an update of where we're at and keeping them focused on the things we've got to do in the near term. And again, I think long term is thinking out about a week. Number two, this is a time to be ambitious. As Margaret Heffernan said, still drive for success. Number three, it's very important then that you're specific around what it is that we want to achieve. And then right now, I think transparency with everyone. As you're doing the triage with your team, with your AR, with your AP, with the customers, with even the product lines that you think you're going to be able to expand with, and those that it's time for you to cut out of the business, the most important thing is for you to be transparent. One little side hint that in those daily communications, email, video, voicemail on your Slack channel or your WhatsApp, if you have bad news to share, it's so important that you put it up front. What you don't want to create right now, and excuse a little bit of language, but you don't want to send out shit sandwiches. You don't want to take your bad news and stuff it between two buns of good news as if that's going to hide anything. Robert Cialdini, the godfather of influence, said, if you really want to build trust and believability, you want to put the bad news first. Put it in the first sentence, put it in the first part of the video, and then share, hey, here's what we're doing about it. And then if there is good news, don't make stuff up, then you want to share that last. That way you're kind of leaving people with the right feeling moving forward. So keep this acronym of FAST in mind as you're setting your hour, day, and weekly kind of themes. Now, what I want to do is come back to our fundamental framework. As you've seen in the book, these are the four fundamental decisions you absolutely have to get right. The research, by the way, is clear around this. I think Paul and some others have actually done some real research around it with the groups of companies, that you really have to have all four working smoothly in like a table with four legs. If anyone's weak, this whole thing is weak. And so, look, normally this is a 2.5 day course. I've got about, 25 minutes here more. And so what I want to do is just share four practical ideas that are going to keep you agile throughout this crisis and moving forward. And so what we're going to do is first, we're going to look at what is considered the most important question you need to be asking every single day. Number two, this is when you're either going to make or break your brand. The actions that you're taking with your customers and your community, for instance, are going to either set you up for success or failure. Number three, with all the things that are kind of piling in on you, how do you really decide what to focus on most next? And then what is the real truth right now about making sure that we don't run out of cash, and where are those sources besides our government agencies that we can turn to get that cash? And I want to use a real live case study. And so Dave Rosenmoser down in Austin had built already two successful companies, and he was then ready to launch his third called Proof, really dominating the social proof marketing space. And so they wanted to do it quicker. And so using our tools and a coach over a 3-day period, they were able to launch this company. And that's what we've got to do right now, is either launch or relaunch ourselves. And so they're going to be our case study. So let's now dig into each of these four particular areas. First, in terms of people. And look, it's always been and will be about relationships. And the cool part is that, again, I've had 15-minute conversations with people that I couldn't have gotten 15 seconds of attention the last dozen years, because everybody's hair's been on fire. Margaret Heffernan shared again at our summit last Thursday, which, by the way, is available for replay. She used the case study of Method, the company that has a really cool soap bottles. They launched right after 9/11. And again, these are great times to launch or relaunch. And as she noted, they were able to get a hold of one of the most famous designers in the world, who wouldn't have given this startup a time of day, but hey, he had some kind of spare time and ended up with one of the most beautifully award-winning designed soap bottles in history. They were able to get a hold of the leadership at Target when the previous decade they wouldn't have gotten any attention, and because Target was looking for something new themselves. And so they were able to get the shelf space. And so this is the time to be ambitious with relationships. Now, we have our traditional tool. What is it you've got to do? Making sure you got the right people doing the right things right. And I hope you take a look at it. But the key lesson with all relationships is right now, you want to, if you're pruning, you want to get rid of the a-holes that you've been dealing with. And most importantly, you don't want to be one yourself. The fifth C of our 5 C's of leading is, most importantly, as best you can, is to remain calm and remain considerate. Look, everyone's got a mess out there. Everyone's kind of on edge. And if you can be that calm kind of voice and presence, even if your gut's being tore up inside, that's going to be important. And folks are going to remember who was considerate and who wasn't coming through this, because we know that there's no I in team, but I've always loved this graphic. There it is. The I is always hidden in the a-hole. This is not a time about I. This is time about team, and teaming not just internally, but with your customers and community. And so I want to get to that key question that I want everybody to make. Jack Daly, who was on our 10 minutes on our summit last Thursday, really emphasized this. And it was a tool that I learned from the famous Regis McKenna, who taught it to Steve Jobs and Intel and Genentech and most everybody that scaled in Silicon Valley. And that is, take out this piece of paper, and by spending what he suggested, an hour a week, I suggest you spend at least an hour a day. And I want you to make the list of the key relationships that you need to make sure that you are connecting with. Jack Daly made a list of 1,200 people that he plans on connecting with over the next 3 months. And the key is, in that conversation, is not to sell, but fundamentally ask, what can I do to help? Now, in the process of that, there might be an opportunity for you to do something for him. But Jack's rule is, and it's been mine with everyone I've been talking to, is, hey, if I can't help you, maybe I have a connection that would be helpful to you. This is when you are building brand. And one of the examples we used last Thursday was this residential home painter. And he right now is not doing any residential home painting jobs. So he's taking the time right now. He's had about 500 jobs over the last 5 years. And they had taken before and after pictures, and it never had the time, because the third C of those five seasons, this is the time to do spring cleaning. This is the time to clean up messes. This is the time to clean up your website and your processes. This is the time to put a process in place, which is this scaling up that we're walking through. And so he set out and he's connecting with each of those 500 past customers, just checking in with them. First, the questions are, you know, how's the family? What's going on? Hey, we've got some of these cool before and after. Would you mind if we post them up on Facebook and LinkedIn? And he's also then sent his data to Brad Stevens' company. And he's been, as Brad has done for us, has done a data scrape of information about each one of those 500 customers. And so he's really built up the robust kind of files he's got on all of them in a CRM system. He really is sharpening the saw right now and laying the groundwork. And after doing that for a few weeks, this week, and I've noticed that even with Masterclass and all those, that they're going out and saying, hey, now's the time for you to kind of get your head back in the game and learn, and as opposed to watch maybe another Netflix series. And I think this is a time where you can begin to make some offers. And so Monday, just 2 days ago, this residential painter went out to then his group and said, look, if there is a painting project that you've got in mind between now and the end of the year, if you're willing to prepay a part of that or put a deposit down, I'll give you a real 25% discount. And right now people are looking for the opportunities out there to save some money and take advantage of these opportunities. And so by using pricing as an opportunity to gather some cash, that's exactly what that residential painter is doing. And so I want you to sit down and make a list of the key, and I've made it, the key relationships that, because what you don't want to do is when we come out of this, look back and have regrets that you had damaged some of these key relations moving forward. And I, by the way, I want to be very precise right now in terms of talk time. First, I hope you've got a close friend that you can talk to several times a day. For me, that's Steve Watkins. And he gives me a laugh. We share jokes and trials and tribulations. And I can talk to him about things that I wouldn't even want to talk to right now, my partner, Deborah, or my rest of my family or anything, or even my team. So I hope you've got that friend. Number two, I've got a coach, Ron Lovett, and Ron, and then some advisors, Steve Hall, obviously my partners, Daniel and John and others. And I make sure that I have conversations with many of them. Daniel, you and I probably talk 5 or 6 times every single day in order to get immediate feedback on the pivots that we're particularly making.
100%.
And then, yeah, for sure, Daniel. And then obviously you want to be going after those key customer relationships. So what did Dave do when he launched Proof? Well, he set out and he made a list of 50 key influencers. He said, look, these are the people that I'm going to scale out with. By the way, he didn't know anyone on that list. So he then sat back and said, who do I know that would know these people? And he identified a handful. And within 2 months, he had been able to network his way to 45 of those 50. And they began talking about what he was doing. And he said it was crazy. People would message him through Facebook and say, Dave, it looks like everybody's talking about you. And he still laughs about that today. And so that's the idea of this list. So I want to give you a very recent example. So Ron Lovett, who's on my council and one of my key advisors, we really help each other. He's the one who wrote the book Outrageous Empowerment that I named the number one business book in 2018. He scaled a company to 1,500 private security guards, mainly across Canada, based out of Halifax, and with no middle management, which is an amazing story in and of itself as we're all pruning our organizations back. And then he sold it for 24 times earnings. So it was a huge success for him when he exited 2 years ago. Well, he's taken a lot of that cash, and today he has 350 residential units that he rents. Mainly, he's gone into low-income areas and really fixed up these properties. It's a real passion for him. He expects to scale this significantly. And so he was facing April 1st and just wondering, especially with Canada announcing that, hey, no landlord can kick any tenant out for not paying or late paying rent. He's like, hey, am I really going to have a mess? By the way, he's gone back to the banks. He was able to negotiate just paying interest without any principal on all of the loans that he's got. He's worked with the government. They've got kind of maybe he'll push back them paying their taxes. But he said, what can I do with my tenants? And so what he did is he did three things. He proactively, starting 3 weeks ago when this thing first hit, he began to reach out to them, and he was their first really source of information for information about how to stay safe. There was a shortage of hand sanitizer, so he found kind of a formula for how to make your own homemade sanitizer, and he got those to every one of his tenants, talking to them individually. He made sure that as the governments up there in Canada were announcing both locally and nationally the programs that would help low-income folks, again, tenant by tenant, he put his team helping them make sure that they could fill out the application properly and get the unemployment that was needed and all of that. He was there to help. Then he said, you know what, let's also have some fun. So he was really motivated by seeing all these Italians, because that they, you know, they were the ones that really hit by this and hit hard, coming out on their balconies and singing. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to put together a lip-sync contest. And he kicked it off, first of all, by doing one himself here on video. So there's Ron. You see the headline here. And he lip-synced to, I think, the flag waving. And then he sent it out to all the tenants. And he said, look, every tenant that does a lip-sync is going to get a prize. And we're then going to, if I'll back up to the story, the winner, and there she is going to win $1,000. By the way, this cost Ron, this is the time to invest. He spent $4,500 on this whole contest. But what was the result? First, he newsjacked this and ended up getting not just a local story. He got this CBC News national story in Canada around what this one landlord's been doing to really close the distance during this whole COVID-19. And man, is this been great brand building. But what have been the financial results? So literally, Ron just sent me a text about an hour before this thing. And he said, you're not going to believe it, but we improved collections over the prior months by 3.6%. They actually got 25% more cash in. What they have, what are called bounce backs, where maybe people's bank accounts were closed. They typically average about 25 out of the 350 tenants. They only had 9 of those. And good, can you believe their collections are actually up of rent by 3.6% over the previous months. By the way, mine did exactly the same thing, reaching out to all of their tens of thousands of tenants, and they've had exactly the same results this week now that the rents are flowing in. So that's the kind of stuff that you can do by making a list, in his case, 350 tenants, and reaching out one by one and touching them in a positive way and offering help, and in this case, some fun as well. The other thing I want you to realize is, look, no one's ever achieved peak performance without some support and coach. Again, you can't think your way through this. You've got to talk your way through. So with Doug Bryan, who is the CEO of Mind, rather than us doing kind of our monthly longer, we have moved to weekly 15-minute. And I found like in 15 minutes, we can really talk through the kind of things that can be supportive. And obviously, this is what the book Trillion Dollar Coach was about last year, because, you know, Steve Jobs and all of them had coaches. So let me just play this real quick. And I think this message is evergreen.
Everyone needs a coach. It doesn't matter whether you're a basketball player, a tennis player, a gymnast, or a bridge player. My bridge coach, Sharon Osberg, says there are more pictures of the back of her head than anyone else's in the world. Sorry, Sharon. Here you go. We all need people who will give us feedback. That's how we improve.
I've received so many different kinds of advice, I don't know where to start. One that comes to mind is to have a coach. Our board member in 2002, John Doerr, said, you need a coach. And I said, well, hired a coach. I'm an established CEO. Why would I need a coach? Is something wrong? No, no, you need a coach. Everybody needs a coach. So Bill Campbell became my coach and has served Google very well. Every famous athlete, every famous performer has somebody who's a coach, somebody who can watch what they're doing and say, is that what you really meant? Did you really do that? They can give them perspective. But one thing people are never good at is seeing themselves as others see them. A coach really, really helps.
Yeah. And so that's what our 180 plus coaching partners around the world have offered to do. If, look, you just need someone to talk to that has seen a lot of stuff in a lot of different industries, please give us a call. Daniel, I know you're going to kind of review that here again at the end, but and based on what you can pay or not pay, we are here to help and support our global community in this particular space. Let's now switch to strategy. And obviously the key here is to continue to state it simply. It's the only way. If you can't boil this thing down to, hey, here are the things we've got to accomplish in a few weeks. And that's precisely what Dom, whoops, let me shut off the audio on that. That's precisely what Tom Monahan was able to do by just simply owning a phrase, hey, we're going to deliver pizza. And that's the kind of clarity you've got to have coming out of this. And so I want to suggest that the most important tool that I know we've been working with clients with, and I hope you've got a chance to take a look at, is our SWEAT tool. It's different than the SWOT, strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threats, because that's normally looking at your existing business model. And again, I think if you haven't pivoted, you're probably going to be out of business. This is really standing above the forest and the trees and getting the right perspective. And if you're going to build or rebuild, and this was the tool that one of the tools that Dave used in building Proof, you need to make sure two things exist. First, that you have got a very solid foundation. You've got a couple of pillars that go all the way down to the bedrock. And then number two, you've got a real clarity around where you think the puck is going, because that's where you've got to skate to. What are the trends? So let's take a look at these. And first, it's really sitting down right now immediately and saying, what's going to be hot coming out of and what's not? And let's make sure, because I want to give you a perspective. At the beginning of the century, our global economy was $34 trillion. Last year, it was $88 trillion, up 2.5 times just in 20 years. Now, if we go back and look at that prediction of a drop between 8 and worst case 25%, that still means the global economy is going to be over twice what it was at the beginning of the century. And look, this is when you've got to really think local. Somebody is going to get their piece of that 65 to 70 trillion, if not more. And that's where you can make that million or billion in revenue that might be necessary for you to really not only climb out of this, but begin to soar. And so I know we've been sharing some real fast industry information. This just came out a few days ago, looking at what are the top 100 fastest growing and declining categories in e-commerce. For instance, last week at the summit, again, as part of the replay, Brad Stevens had actually done a scrape of the media, and he's got a running list of 125, or what looked like are the hottest opportunities, again, in the short term and the long term, coming out of this particular crisis. So this is the kind of data that I want you to really immerse yourself in. By the way, you can probably guess what is the number one fastest growing category in e-commerce? Disposable gloves. And I was sent this by Fred Crescetto, who's been a longstanding client and friend, who is the king of disposable gloves in the world. And so you can imagine his only concern is that, as Andy Grove said, more companies can die from indigestion than from starvation. And so first, I want you to sit down with your team and say, all right, where is the puck going? Then number two, this is when you've got to face the brutal facts. And that is, first, a real clarity around what are your core competencies? What are your core strengths? What are the core capabilities that you've got? And then I want you to be, and that's exactly what Big Corporation was able to understand. Look, they started out making cheap pens, but they really understood that their core capabilities were twofold. We can make disposable, plastic, consumable anything. And number two, we're really good at putting quickly and cheaply together and accurately metal with plastic. And by the way, that allowed them over the years to pivot to razors and lighters and a whole host of $2 billion worth of products. And this may seem obvious in hindsight, but there are no other pen companies that make lighters and razors. There's no razor company make lighter and pen, and no lighter companies make razors and pens moving forward. And so that's the kind of pivot you're going to make. You also need to be as clear, what are the things that you're terrible at? Because what you don't want to do is be so crazily in your pivot that you go after something that you have no capability or business being in that business. And so I want to give you an update on a story that we've been sharing. This happens to be Rick Skidmore, again, an early student of mine and fan and user of our scaling up tools. Rick's been keeping me updated literally daily. He's got a company called Timberlane, and they traditionally make exterior shutters. And by the way, not just any exterior shutters. These shutters have gone on our White House in the United States. They've gone on the Disney haunted castles all over the world. Anyone that's kind of an historical site, they're the only ones approved to be able to replicate those shutters that need to go on. And it's been a really healthy niche business. Well, when this crisis hit, overnight, his revenue dropped 75%. And so he acted immediately about 11 days ago, and it was Friday. And he said, all right, I'm going to immediately pull back 90% of our marketing and all of that into this particular industry. He was facing furloughing his 60 employees when he said, wait a second, what are our core capabilities and what is needed, at least in the short run? And so what you'll see there at the top of the website is they're now manufacturing medical safety supplies in response to the COVID-19. He reached out to, he made his list because they're just south of New York City in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. He was able to reach into the hospital networks. He was able to reach into the government agencies there. And let me give you an update 11 days later. Not only is there 60 employees fully employed, they have 167 new temp employees being processed. By the way, this data is a day old. He shared this yesterday. I didn't get the update today yet. 73 scheduled for shifts over the next week. 27 started yesterday and worked a full day. They've already added 35 additional workstations purchased yesterday and will be set up today. That would be Wednesday. This is in addition to the 30 new ones we added yesterday, bringing our total dedicated face shield stations to 65, likely swelling to 200 next week. They've launched a donation page to allow people to buy these PPE and donate to the local community first responders. And their capacity in 1 week from zero is now at, by the end of this week, predicted to be 50,000 a day by Friday. And they're building a plan to be at 100,000 units a day next week. Now, here's what I also thought was interesting. Is he's created a consortium think tank of pulmonologists and ER docs to continue to iterate the design of the intubation shields and consolidate the specs. So Rick isn't just creating something crude that can get out there, but look at the quality, and he made his list. Just like Steve Jobs made a list, hey, I gotta go in the music distribution business, who are the top 25 players in that industry. By the way, Steve didn't know any of them when he first started. Rick said, all right, let me pull together a list of top pulmonologists and ER docs, and let's immediately get engaged with them real time in order to not only provide, but innovate rapidly. Now, I was talking to Rick yesterday. I said, hey, you know, these two devices are going to be needed for the next likely years as people want to pre-stock up so we don't run into this mess again as other pandemics might come down the line. Do you think this might be a viable business unit moving forward? And I loved Rick's answer. He said, ask me in a week. He himself knows that, hey, Vern, I'm not thinking any further than the next day. Let's see how this thing pans out. But he sure has laid the groundwork by making sure that he's made the list and gone out and pulled the right people in place to drive this business forward. And so that is the first tool. What are the trends, both short and long term? What are our core capabilities and what do we suck at? And this is where you got to get together very rapidly. And what we recommend precisely is to identify three or four other players in your same industry. Now, I don't think you're going to go next door to a competitor, but I want you to identify through your EO, YPO, trade organization, three or four other people that you respect. I've done the same thing with Josh Linkner, for instance, who's a big player in my world. And it's been in the process of, again, talking our way through that instead of trying to think it alone, that we've been able to create some of the quick pivots that we've made. Now, the other tool that we've got here is the seven strata. As you, once you think you've narrowed in on what this new opportunity or rebuild or build of the company is, then you want to sit down and it starts with, this is an opportunity for you to create a new category. This is where you decide what is the word or two that we want to own. I've always loved this one I've shared. We're the number one and the number two business. But here was a company that was just named the number one company in the Netherlands. And first, I love the name of the company, Picnic. And they said, we're going to be the leader in the Netherlands in being able to pick groceries and deliver them. Well, you can imagine, they couldn't have been more lucky. I know no one wants to think about this as luck. It's overall disastrous for our global economy. But look, you've got to say, hey, they were at the right place at the right time, and their business is thriving. And they've created this kind of new category and dominating it within the Netherlands, if not beyond. And so that's where I look at the example I've shared to many of you, which is Darius Bickoff's vitamin water. And this is a chance for you to create a new category. That's exactly what Ted Leonsis did with AOL by labeling, coming out of the crisis, the first new media company. So later on, when they bought Time Warner, it's a very simple strategy. New media, buy an old media to make them new. And so for Darius, he created a whole new category called Enhanced Waters. By the way, we're doing exactly the same thing. We know that distance learning is going to really accelerate coming out of this crisis. This is our Gulf War moment. But we have now created a new category. Until I get the final URL purchase, I don't want to mention it. But we have identified what we think is a new category in learning. And because we're going to name it, we think we can instantly become the king of, the queen of, or the godfather of this new particular distance learning category. And so that's exactly what Proof is doing right now in their pivot. They started by saying, I think we want to own social proof marketing. But they've quickly said, hey, and one of the things we're really recommended is this is a time for you to clean up your websites. David Merriman Scott, who was on with us last Thursday, really laid out the reason why. If nothing else, during this downtime, if you've got some, go update your website with video on every single landing page. And I thought he did a good 10 minutes of why that's important. And so they really have said what we want to focus on is not CX or EX, the customer or the employee experience, but we're going to particularly focus on the WX, and they're going to get about owning that space. Now, you've identified an opportunity, or you're going to stick with your own and really reach out to your customer base like that residential painter. You have decided the strategy that you're going to focus on right now, maybe a new category that you're going to be able to launch and drive forward. Now you've got to execute. And it's always come back to my favorite Stephen Covey quote, which is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And so that's what you've got to do, not this year, but over the next few months, this week, and particularly on a day and hour basis. And it always comes back to this very fundamental idea. I consider it the most important business idea ever postulated, and that is the theory of constraints. And that's what Rick has been doing at Timberlane. Every day that I've gotten an update from him, obviously his very first constraint was getting the raw materials in fast enough because everyone's fighting for those. And so he was able to reach out immediately to LinkedIn. A little side note, we're finding LinkedIn is an outstanding place for you to kind of post and ask for help and gather the kind of resources that are necessary in order for you to move forward. And that's what you want with your kind of key advisor, again, my coach, Ron Lovett, and hopefully your coach, where you really want to think through every single day or every week, all right, what's my constraint next? And look, you have to realize for you to spend your time anyplace else, but on the most immediate constraint really is a waste. And I've been thinking about that really every hour and every day. And so what is that? And so many of you guys know I'm a big fan of Gene Brown. I've shared the Citibank story. I first met him when they were in the depths of the crisis of 2010, where in Ireland, they were one of the pigs countries. He had 60 employees at the time, and he was just trying to make payroll. When he scraped up what money he had and brought his team to our very first 2.5-day workshop we did for YPO in 2010. And coming out of that, he said, look, what we need is cash. And so he engaged the entire team, all 60 of his trash truck drivers and the quote assistant that was on the back that's slinging the bins. Everyone in his company sat down and said, I need all of your help, not just me and my CFO, to get us out of this thing financially. And he said it very fast. It was frequently discussed every day. It was ambitious in his mind. That is, how are we going to get just an extra 40,000 euros in every month for the next 3 months? And by the way, if we can figure that out and we continue it, that's going to give us an extra 500,000 for the year. And what really surprised him is they did it. Now, I checked in with Gene this weekend and he said, Bird, we are back at this theme. By the way, life begins at 150. And so they're seeking how can they quickly clean things up, make adjustments, and get an extra 150,000 in cash in over the next 3 months, which will give them the extra 500,000 that they need. Now they have 160 employees having moved forward. So I want to come back to proof. And when they were launching, they said, all right, what we really want to drive is our monthly recurring revenue. It's called MRR. And they said, all right, if we can drive that to 50,000, then what I'm going to be willing to do is back then get the company a Tesla. That'll be our company car. But most importantly, what they did is they installed a very simple bell. And every additional 1,000 in MRR that they were able to achieve in the next few hours and that day, they would go over and ceremoniously ring the bell. And that's this idea that you don't want to just put out a goal for the next few weeks. You want to make sure that you update the team and have reasons to celebrate every little step of accomplishment that you can. By the way, what was the end result of this? They didn't get to 50,000. They got to 80,000. And it really blew Dave's mind that, hey, by setting this kind of very specific, fast goal, that they were able not only to achieve it, but to exceed it. And that's what your team, again, needs, is this focus, because it's very common moving forward. And you can see the kind of data that Rick Skidmore has got and the kind of data that Ron Lovett's looking at. And not only is he sharing it with me, but they're sharing it particularly with their teams. Last, as we wrap up here on the hour, we want to, of course, focus on cash, because we run out of cash, game over. I hope you've been on some of the daily webinars that we've been hosting with Ami Kassar around keeping us updated, at least in the U.S. We've shared various links of different programs that are available and summaries of those of opportunities around the world to get that cash in. I hope you've assigned somebody to make sure they're focused on those details and getting yourself applied, as we have at our company with Missy Gilmore. And what we want to do is also make sure, as Ron Lovett had suggested in a little video, that you add a COVID-19 expense line right now in your P&L so that you're tracking these, so you make it very easy, whatever government programs you've got, to have the data to provide them. But at the end of the day, it is about the money and getting it in. And so I want to really suggest that the key here is to get it from your customers. I remember when 9/11 happened, we were going to be hosting our very first summit 8 weeks later. And in partnership with Fortune magazine, we needed to look good. We had just started the company about 36 months before, and boom. Overnight, people did not want to get on airplanes. It wasn't logical, but look, nobody is. It's all psychology. And so we were out of business. I lost $1 million in about 10 weeks. And that's when I sit down and I made a list of, all right, what are the customers that we have got great brand with that I think have got the cash in partnership? And I called every one of them. And there were 17 of them who said, hey, look, we're solid coming out of this 9/11 mess. We see things are good for 2002. We would love your support as we continue to scale. And I gave them a 25% discount if they would prepay, not unlike their residential painter, for the next 12 months. And 17 of them did that. And that got me my payroll that I needed and cash in order for us to relaunch. And that's exactly what Dave did. He said it was crazy. Way before they raised their first any dollar, they held a webinar. They only had the concept for the product. And about 200 customers came in. And at the end of that webinar, they said, look, here's the deal we're going to give you. And if you're willing to sign now, first, you're going to be a preferred customer kind of the rest of our lives. 38 customers prepaid for a product that was just a concept. But that got Dave the cash that he needed in order to continue to move forward. And so I want to wrap up with kind of a final story. And I think it's the story of the century so far. And look, one of the hot trends, if you're in the food business, I think you're in pretty good shape. We're all still needing to eat. It just depends on if you can get front of line and top of mind within folks. And one of the critical things is to eat local. It's a big thing here in Boulder, Colorado. But it's just not easy to get your own local honey. And so this father-son team, the Andersons, down in Australia, created a solution called the Flow. By the way, they 3D print it. So I think it's indicative of, I think, where we're going to be going. That way you're not holding any kind of inventory and you can turn things around quick and make only when you have the orders. And so with this idea, they needed 70,000 to get this thing off the ground. Well, rather than go out to friends, families, and fools, they turn to potential customers. Now, the great news is we've got really cool sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, Indiegogo being the international version of Kickstarter. And so what they did is they put this up there for potential customers. And what the son did was took out a piece of paper. And he made a list of who he thought were the top 25 kind of YouTubers, bloggers, influencers, writers that he calculated could reach about 3 million people that are really, you know, into making sure that they grow their own food and eat what they produce. And so we began to nurture those relationships over 60 days, saying, hey, we're going to launch this thing. We're just this family down in Australia. We're going to launch next month, next week, tomorrow, in the next hour. And it was crazy. They pre-sold $250,000 of this $600 device in the first 15 minutes. They hit their first million in revenue in 3 hours. They doubled it within the next 11 hours. And when the dust settled, 30 days later, they had pre-sold $12 million of this $600. They had some cheaper versions. They had good, better, best as well. Very simple, if you notice there, job to be done or elevator pitch, harvesting honey easier on the beekeeper, so much easier on the bees. By the way, they've done a second round, the Hive 2, for another $13 million. This is a thriving family business now, one of the best known in Australia. And I think what's crazy is in 2015, the Global Innovation Award was won by Elon Musk for the Tesla. In 2016, when they first launched, this was a campaign they did just last year, as you see in 2018, they won the Global Innovation Award for the Flow. And so that's what you can do just at the family level with some 3D printing, going to where the puck's going and making sure that you're going to get your funding from customers. Because remember, again, we've got, at least in this country, 155 million people still employed. We've got, even worst case, a global economy. It's still going to be $70 trillion. Let's see. And so go for it. And that is the Andersons. So let me wrap up. Really, four things. First, I want you to sit down and make the list. Number two, I want you to figure out what is going to be your strategy moving forward, really understanding your capabilities and the trends. And then what is this word or two you're going to own? Number three, then you have to focus your effort and you must do it every step of the way around what is the next rock in my way up the mountain or down or constraint. And then last, the truth is, this is when we have to go back and rely, as that residential painter is, on the customers funding him, as Rick Skidmore is with new customers he didn't have even 11 days ago. So let's get on our mountain. It's a little bit shorter, I think, horizon. and decide what's our next step up or down, but whatever, it requires a bias for action. So I want to leave you with the founder of Habitat Humanity, who said, look, again, you can't think your way out of this. You've got to act your way out. And so with that, good luck and keep scaling. Let me turn it now back over to you, Daniel. I think we're right at, I apologize, I'm about 5 minutes or 4 minutes long.
Thank you, Vern. And guys, please stay.
We're and Daniel, I can't hear you.
Can't hear me now? Are you guys hearing me well?
I can hear you. Perfect. Vern, you muted your computer.
Oh, good. Thank you for all those comments. Well, I got all my notes, not able to hear you, Daniel.
From the call. Thank you, Vern. Continue to do my notes and learn from you. I would love to invite Paul and Jason to the call to join us, and I'll share a little
bit. Oh, it's because I turned my audio down.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right. Hey, Paul. Hi, Jason. How are you? Let me just
do a
quick introduction, and then we'll go from there. So Paul is an entrepreneur. He's the president and founder of Company Nurse LLC. We're going to hear a little bit about his business model. But Paul's revenue 3 weeks ago went to 50% in a week. And with Jason, that is his coach, that I have Jason here, by the way. Jason, he's a successful entrepreneur himself, two exits himself previously, and then one spectacular failure. Jason, we need to hear about that after this. He used Rockwell Habits methodology to grow his company 400% in 4.5 years. So he's an entrepreneur like all of us, doing the work, and then now he's coaching other entrepreneurs, and he coached Paul. So just, guys, next 5 minutes. So Paul, your revenue went down. You gave Jason a call. What do you guys did, and what's the result? I hear you guys have done an amazing pivot using the scaling up methodology.
Well, so fast forwarding to today, you know, we've been with Petra for 3.5 years, and suffice it to say, with them, we've built the best team I've ever had, and everybody was doing the right thing. We're all aligned. We're working on our priorities. And in fact, before, at the beginning of March, we were still growing about 15 to 20%. But then March 16th came, and my revenues dropped by 50%. The main reason is that our clients just stopped going to work. We had a lot of school districts in the United States, a lot of food service and so forth. So quickly, we engaged with Jason. He called me. He's like, how's it going? How can I help? And what we did is completed that sweat exercise. It was one of the first things we did. And really, one of the beneficial things coming out of it was we were looking at the trends that are going on in the workplace injury marketplace. That's my business. And what we found out is there were many, many, yes, go ahead, Daniel.
So your revenue, why yes. It went down so much? What happened?
Well, again, school districts are about 40% of our revenue. So what we do is we provide services to the workers at about 2,500 school districts around the country. Of course, they were all shut down by the government, as well as food service, which is another sector of ours, and hospitality, hotels, and so forth. So
to Jason, what you did, guys, don't go. Bernie's coming back in 5 minutes to do the Q&A. So please send your questions through the chat, and Vern will answer your questions on the chat in the next 5 minutes. Sorry, Paul.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what we did is we quickly got into that sweat exercise. I got my entire leadership team together. We did a virtual planning in an adaptive format, very quick, to focus on what are the trends, what are the trends that we can take advantage of or serve as COVID-19 spreads. And the key thing was to really make some quick decisions on priorities that we needed to work through for the next 90 days. Of course, cash management was one of them, but also what are the services that are needed by our clients and our prospects out there to respond to COVID-19? What we quickly put into place was because we're clinical in nature, nurses helping injured employees figure out where to go for care, talking about the symptoms, and then documenting that for the employers so that they could act on it.
Okay, so what was the pivot and what's the result today?
Results today is our revenue is growing up, is going up now. So we're running at about, we're down 40%. I never thought I'd be so happy to see we're only down 40%. And, but it's growing quickly, and we're actually signing contracts today at a faster rate than we did, you know, in 2019. So
what part of scaling up do you guys use to do the pivot?
To do the
of your business. What tools do you use to repivot your business and then to implement it fast again to be able to come back?
So what we focused on was using the sweat to find those opportunities through the trends of where things were going and build on those strengths. So they had incredible strength is their nursing team. And so we wanted to make sure that we utilized them. And so adding them into the COVID, you know, working through the issues that a lot of companies in their workplace were having with COVID and what happens with workplace, if it happens in the workplace, we figured we could easily pivot this and create a whole new messaging for them to get this done very quickly, which is what happened. So we started doing some webinars and put more information out, and all of a sudden they became experts in this. And so that's why people are coming to them now, because they position themselves as experts in understanding the workplace dilemmas and challenges with having it in the workplace. And as part of what we've done is we've created sort of a model around the idea of a defense, stabilize, reset, and offense. And so in our planning session, we've got planning sessions and workshops and webinars. The idea is that we're moving companies quickly through the stage of defense and stabilize, where a lot of companies want to stay, and quickly turn them around and saying, let's reset and move forward and get into the offense. So that's really where we've been pushing companies and organizations. And I think when you did earlier, you put the poll up, a lot of people use the, you know, transformative is the way they're looking at this. And that's the way we're approaching it too as an organization, is how can we help the companies that we work with get as quickly from the defensive mindset? Because the first thing Paul and I did was review financials, right? And get it and say, okay, let's get the business under control. Great. Now we got to move forward and we got to keep it going. And we've got a team, we've got to communicate with the team. There's a lot of different things you need to do. And so it was all these different proactive nature. So Paul even talked a little bit about some of the things that Vern suggested that we did, which was go to 2-day huddles. So they did a morning huddle and an afternoon huddle. Paul did 3 times a week video communications to the entire team. And the other part that I would highly recommend for everybody is, you know, using some electronic format such as Zoom or Google Hangouts or something for all meetings and conversations.
So interesting what you said. So first, mindset. You have to have the right mindset.
When that's absolutely,
don't get panic, don't get frozen, do the mindset. And then communication. You begin doing 2 huddles a day and then 3 videos a week to the team to be able to send the message. That's amazing, Paul. I imagine your team really appreciate you not keeping on the dark with that.
I've received some very nice messages from my 60, more than 60 employees. And by the way, we have not had to let anybody go. And that was their greatest fear, that they were going to be furloughed or laid off. So yeah, I'm working out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I understand you won a state contract recently with the new business model.
We did.
What state?
Arizona.
That's awesome. Congrats. Really, really great pivot. All right. Thank you guys. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, and before appreciate
it. Comes back, thank you guys. Really appreciate that. Paul, congrats. Jason, congrats. Thank you.
Thank you.
So before Vern comes back for the Q&A, please send your questions. I begin to see some of the questions here for Vern. Before Vern comes back, let me tell you how we could give you the tools to help you implement this in your business. Here we have a past student of the Growth Institute. She said, great alignment across the organization. That's what you need the most today. You have to align your team, as Paul said, videos 3 times a day, and 2 daily huddles to be able to have everyone focus in whatever they have to do next. When everyone is going through stress, imagine if you have stress, imagine your team members. This you have to do, not just for you. You have to do for your team, for your community, for your tribe. And that's what scaling up allows you, to be able to have a very clear strategy, but most importantly, a communication to be able to implement that strategy correctly. And that's what Glennis did as an example with this. At Growth Institute, we've been sharing a program called the Scaling Up Master Business Course for the last 6 years. It's been our bestseller by far. And when all of this happened, we had to have a meeting and say, hey guys, we cannot be talking about scaling up. The world is falling apart. We're having a lot of economies going down 5, 10, 20%. How can we really talk about scaling up? So we have one of these moments that we sat down, Vern and I spoke 2 weeks ago, like 20 times over the weekend, and said, hey, we know this is going to be the CNN moment for online education. Online education is going to come back stronger. But what kind of education? How can we serve our community? And we came back to the story that we told at the beginning. Hey, if it happened to me 2008, how can we make sure it doesn't happen again to another entrepreneur? So we said, hey, it's our duty. We're the first responders of the economy. We know we have a health issue first, but after the health issue, we're going to have an economic issue. And we the business owners, the mid-market companies of the world, we are the first respondents of the economy. So we have a role, a very, very big discussion of how can we support our teams? How can we support our communities? How can we support our families? It's our responsibility as CEOs to be able to come back and bring a new plan. And that's why we said, hey, we have to pivot our own business. We have to pivot our own solution for the market to help the market be able, not just to survive, but be able to thrive after this. And that's why we created the Scaling Up 2020 Crisis Edition. This is a completely different scaling up program. Most importantly, around community. You could not get out of this just thinking. You could get out of this talking and sharing with other community leaders like you to go through the process of pivoting their companies. We said, hey, Scaling Up is a great tool for first, redo your strategy, but second, execute your strategy. Have an aligned team be able to execute your strategy. And that's why we said, hey, we have to significantly pivot the partnership that we have with the coaches, with the community, to be able to turn around. And we said, hey, we have to use Scaling Up as the basic, but we have to completely change the model. Instead of us teaching, we're building a community with you to be able to help you go through the process, talking your strategy with all the other community. So let me tell you a little bit about this program in the next couple of minutes before Vern comes back. So we believe this is the right moment because now you have to make sure you have the cash to first survive the next 3 to 4 months, but then be able to thrive. It's our duty to be able to do that as entrepreneurs. You have to protect your company. You have to protect your employees. You have to protect your customers. It's your customer saying, hey, we love to work with you. We love to buy from you. We would love to continue buying from you after, but you have to stay alive to be able to do that. So we said, hey, let's build this program that will really help build a community of people that have the right mindset that want to survive and they'll be able to thrive. So we're building a community online around Scaling Up, the Scaling Up 2020 Crisis Edition, to be able to help all of you guys being on the same platform, on the same place, to be able to each other help and be able to take each other business. First, make sure that you stay alive. And then how do you pivot to be able to come out even stronger? Remember when there's a fire and it's like, let's say a brush or whatever, the big trees stay up. And we want to make sure you are the big trees that stay after the fire and be able to get all the nutrients from the land. So we believe first alignment and then community will give you the confidence to pivot your business and then be able to scale your business after this. This program that we're putting together is precisely on that, helping you, giving you the tools to align your team, really understand what are the new trends, how do you have to evolve to the new market. As Vern said, if you're trying to do business the way you used to do business 30 days ago, it's completely out the door. You have to redo your business to the new reality. So the best way to do it is with other C-level executives from all over the world that we talk with each other and we help each other re-understand our strategy and be able to align our team. But then with a community around that, that's going to give us the confidence that we need to be able to execute it correctly and be able to grow with that our business. So this goes way beyond a traditional online training. It goes way more than that. It's mostly about the community. We have the videos, we have the coaches, we have everything, but most of it, we have the community to be able to help you talk with other CEOs, other C-level executives, other leaders of mid-market companies, the first responders around the economy in the world to be able to go to the next level. So what will you accomplish when you put all this system together? Significantly improve personal effectiveness. We see it's a great time for you to double your revenue per employee, really become way more effective the way you run your organization. Optimize your company cash strategy. As Vern said, you have to make sure you bring the cash. It's all about the money at the beginning and be able to survive now. Once we pass all this drama in the next 3 to 4 months, then how are you going to be able to thrive after that? Adapt your company strategy to the new market realities. Set up whatever you need to set up, what they're going to change in your business, and then establish a new long-term goals and objectives for your company. And of course, be able to be out of this, not just to survive. And this, John is one of the students that has gone through the program. He now leads the coaching organization of Scaling Up. And he said, Scaling Up, not just help them to grow the company, but really help us to drive significant valuation. We're seeing valuations in the market getting destroyed. And the ones that are getting even higher valuation is the one that are really able to be able to work better in the new reality and serve the markets better in the new reality. So how will you achieve this? First, get over 9 hours of video with Vern, teaching you every step of the Scaling Up program in short videos in 5 to 7 minutes each, to be able to walk you through whole progress of what is scaling up, what you have to do today, and how you have to pivot your strategy, asking you the question of your top 25 recommendations, what's the words you're gonna own, everything on your one-page plan. You're gonna redo your one-page plan based on the new reality with this community of CEOs all over the world. Then we're gonna have live group discussions with a coach that's gonna walk the team through the process, through these 8 live coaching calls, to make sure we're all aligning correctly and going in the right step, going through the process. We're gonna give you all the tools that Vern talked about, and we're gonna help you implement them in your business. One thing is to have the tools, and the other one's to be able to implement them correctly. And for that, we're gonna have masterminds. So we're gonna have big groups of 40 companies to start, but then we're gonna put them in smaller groups of 4 or 5 companies to then have these masterminds, similar to EO and YPO, but companies going through the process, going through the same pivot, same process of really understanding how to thrive after the crisis is out and how to survive through the process. And then we're gonna give you a one-on-one coaching call with a coach. The coach that is gonna lead this class is Herb Cogliano. He's here in the group. Herb is also an entrepreneur like us. He's done a couple of exits himself. And after you finish your one-page plan, you're gonna send it to Herb, and Herb's gonna be able to read it and analyze it and make sure you're going on the right direction. We don't want you to build a strategic plan and then go wrong. We want to make sure your strategic plan is correct. So we want to give you a one-on-one call with Herb so you could really, he's able to really help you understand your one-page plan and make sure it's right. Because the worst thing we could do is that you do the one-page plan incorrectly and then you go on the wrong direction. Make sure your plan is done correctly so you're able to implement your strategy and take it to the next level. So the interactive group and community, plus the weekly open coaching calls, that's gonna take us completely to the next level. The class starts on May 14, but whoever starts now, we're gonna start having coaching calls every week. So you could start now pivoting your business and making sure you stay alive. Indeed, one of these calls is done by Jason, the coach that you saw that is coaching Paul. He's gonna be on one of the coaching sessions, these weekly open coaching hours. So you could ask him anything on how they did the pivot and what he's going to walk you through the process of how they did the pivot with Paul. Then Vern will give, and this is going to be the first time this happens, Vern is going to give 3 open coaching calls to the students that come through the class. You're going to have 3 hours with Vern to ask them whatever you want and need to be able to pivot your business correctly. So when the class begins starting, you're going to begin redoing your one-page plan, and then Vern's going to give 3 hours or 3 coaching calls that everyone's going to come in. You're going to be able to ask Vern whatever you want of questions to make sure you're doing the right pivot and you're going in the right trends to be able to grow after this. For those that enter early, we're going to have these weekly coaching sessions starting next week. So if you want to start having help next week, this is exactly done for you. We know that May 14 is too late. We want to start now giving you access to the tools and start having group coaching calls with me and with other coaches, so we could walk you through the process and be able to start rethinking your business and making sure you stay alive and then thrive. This is limited to 40 companies. We said we need to make sure we could get the right 40 companies into the program and we could help them go through the process. We got over 5,000 people registered for this webinar, over 2,500 of you guys live, but we said, no, we have to make sure we just help 40 so we could really give you the time and attention that you need. So whenever there's a coaching call, there's not too many companies and they will never answer your questions. Vern's gonna really be able to spend some time, quality time with these 40 companies and be able to go through the process with all the coach, of course. So who is this for? The Scaling Up 2020 Crisis Edition is for leaders that just want to survive, but they want to thrive through these times. That 80% that they say they're gonna use this to even come back stronger, this is for you. We're gonna give you the tools, the support and the community to take you through that process. So what's the cost of this Scaling Up program? Usually if you get a Scaling Up coach, you could pay up to $120,000 for individual Scaling Up support. Of course, we're not gonna ask for anything even closer to that, but you have a coach, the community, and everything else you need to implement. So if you go to the website today, The program is worth $5,990, but of course we know this is not the right time to be able to invest that amount of money. So we're going to have a much, much lower price. But because these crazy times, we know we're like you, we need to lower the price so it could help you be able to go through the process. So we're going to give you a huge discount. And by the way, you're going to be able to bring three members of your company, you and two more, so you could go together with a community of other 40 companies, but also with your team members. It's really, really important that we don't do this alone, that we have to do it with our team members to take the company to a next level. You need that alignment. If they come with you, they see the videos, they come to the coaching calls, they're going to be way more aligned with you to help you pivot your company and be able to come out stronger out of this. So for the next week, you could apply and enroll for just $3,290. And we're going to start with the call. So whoever comes out early is going to start already with the coaching calls and the program with this. So, and because these tough times, of course, we want you to get started. If you said, hey, I could not do 3,290, don't worry. With a deposit of 1,200, you could start the program and start doing it now. You have to apply and enroll before April 15 to be able to have this really, really low price and begin getting all the coaching calls that will start just after April 15. So in next week after this. So it's really, really important that you said, okay, I'm going to pivot my company. I want to really be able to come out strong. I want to use the scaling of methodologies to redo my plan and be able to take it to the next level. So if you really want to be part of this program, go to growthisto.com/scaling-up. And if you apply, of course, before April 15, you have to ask yourself, do you really want help? Do you really want Vern and all the other scaling up coaches to help you go through this process? This is the right program with the right price to be able to get you through the process. Wes Gardner, it's a student that came through the program, and he said, this program paid for itself 100 times. And this was not even in turbulent times like we are today. This was a couple of years ago. And he said, I got at least 100 times the value. Not just because the views and the content, that is amazing, but having the community. He said, I learned a lot from other CEOs implementing all over the world. And I was able to see it in a different way to be able to implement better in my company. It delivered a deep level of content and deep level of understanding of the methodology going through it as a community. So nobody gets left behind in these uncertain times. And we're also going to give you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk to you. We will take all the risk. Come through the program. Come to the first coaching calls. Learn with us. Begin understanding what this could do for you. And then if in the next 30 days you said, hey, this is not for me, give my money back. We'll be happy to give your money back. We want to take all the risk. We know this on certain times. So the program is 13 weeks starting on May 14. Whoever starts now is going to get the pre-program and the pre-coaching calls in addition to the program starting on May 14. So this Scaling Up 2020 Crisis Edition. And if you want more information to apply, by the way, it's by application only. So you have to apply at growthinstitute.com/scaling-up. So it's a very, very short application. You'll have a short application. You'll get into a phone with one of our specialists to make sure this is right for you and be able to take you through the process for you to enroll. All right, so before we go to the Q&A, Vern, can you come back and tell us a little bit about the Scaling Up Reinvent Summit? Whoever signs up before April 15, yes.
You got it. But I don't know if you guys see me. I've got my video going again. But hey, I just want to, it was really fun. I've got really two adopted countries, both Spain, lived in Barcelona for 8 years, and for many, many years, Panama. And so it was really cool. I just want to share, I immediately got in here on a WhatsApp from Daniel Long and his partner. Thanks, Vern from Sitges. We miss you. And what I really loved is Tomas, hello there from Panama, Guardia. He's got a company, Agencias, in the food and consumer goods distribution. Here's what he emailed. He said, look, we're doing our Monday, Wednesday, Friday executive team Zoom, 45-minute meetings for follow-up. So they've gone from one a week to three a week. We're only focusing on 30 products that sell, because they've got a whole range of that can sell, and focused on supermarkets. Also, anything sold in cash is priority. Anything else right now is noise. Even if something sounds nice, the shiny objects, we quickly make a decision based on cash. It's all about dollar turnover. He said they're using our scaling up scoreboard, align.com, as their key tool to be managing all these priorities, data, and meeting rhythms. And it's really keeping in front of their face, he said, reminding them of their seven strata and their one-page strategic plan. He says he's got his whole executive team and leaders on board. That's 35 people out of his 300. And then, hey, super kind. I do want to say hello to all the other EO members there in Panama. So, yes, we from our live event that we had coming up May 5 through 7 in Dallas, obviously we had to cancel that. We pivoted very quickly ourselves to a two-hour, I don't think folks got time for 2 days, two-hour reInvent Summit. So we had 12 superstar speakers, 10 minutes each last Thursday. We've got a new 10 that we're going to have on April 22nd, and then another 10 on May 20th. So we want to be able to do that. Look, I don't have all the answers. We will really want to reach out to experts in marketing and sales and execution and the like. So I think we're including
recordings of the last one.
Free gets to participate in those for free if they're part of this class. So let's get maybe to some Q&A.
Yeah, all right, let's go to Q&A. So whoever signs up before April 15 will get the recordings of the past summit and then access to the next two summits, April 22nd and May 20th. Awesome. So questions, Vern. First question, how do you position innovation bis profiting from the crisis? I'm wrestling with this.
What Rick is doing is his margin, he's keeping very slim. Look, right now, these mass and intubation cases are absolutely needed. I don't think anyone is expecting you to give it away for free. And look, I'm going to Mateo, the restaurant across the street, and I'm not getting free food, but I'm there supporting that local restaurant. And what I love that they've done three tiers of pricing. One of those, several of the restaurants here locally in Boulder are saying, hey, if you've been laid off or you've been furloughed, we've got a different price. We're willing to cut that down. It's not free, but we're there to help. And so to me, right now seems to be a time where folks are beginning to get back into business. And if we don't keep the money flowing, literally, if it goes stagnant, that's when you die. And so Rick has not had any pushback at all, but he's keeping his margins razor thin.
So, Vern, I really believe you did it right with the summit. So you said the price of the summit was $295, but if you cannot pay, here's $95. And a lot of people paid $95 and really were thankful, saying, hey, this is great. I would still love to pay $95.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, we offered a good, better, best pricing as well.
Perfect. Wondering how do you handle the dual working household with young kids and online learning and all that?
I have no idea. I am not the expert in that particular space, but we'll be bringing experts in that space. And I just signed up, John Ratliff and I signed up. Next week is going to be an online summit around these issues, around parenting, home education, and all of that. So plenty of resources out there, but it is not my expertise.
If I just add, I have a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old here in the house. We did an agenda and a schedule, and we have a wake-up call every day, and then they have to do this. And then we have 3 hours to play as a family. And we have 3 hours that we walk and we play as a family every day. And that's part of the schedule, and it's been working great. And whenever I'm working, and by the way, for the webinar, I told my wife, Nina, can you take the kids out? And they went to do a walk while I was here, so they would not be running around the house.
Yeah, we do know the one thing everyone is saying, it's super critical to keep a schedule and a routine. We got that in from Alden Mills, who was one of the Navy SEALs that keynoted for us at our last summit. And he's been speaking a lot around the importance of routine.
How important is to include personal and professional plans in the one-page plan?
Well, that's why we have two different tools. We've got the one-page personal plan, and we have the one-page strategic plan. I can tell you right now, in the last few weeks, being in battle, it has all been about the business plan, and the personal has, in some sense, been set aside, at least in my case. But we've got two separate plans for that.
Okay, I'm having trouble.
What I have done, though, is I've really upped, again, my talk time with my mom. She's in a retirement home. She's playing the piano. She's the one that entertains everybody there and checking in with her. And so, yeah, your routine's around connecting. And again, my friend Steve Watkins, he's been super critical to me throughout this entire thing because I've got him to talk to several times a day.
So how do you pivot quickly? How do you test your pivots quickly?
With a group of customers. And that was why we called the Agile Scale-Up. So when we launched the summit last Thursday, we did that in 72 hours. But I had a handful of customers that I interact with a lot. And so I quickly sent them out. Hey, go look at this landing page. What do you think about the pricing? It was in those rapid conversations, we came up with this clever process, conversations I've had here with my partner, Deborah, and others that allowed us to rapidly innovate. And my coach and advisor, Ron Lovett and Steve Hall and John were there all along the step of the way, helping us think through, as you were, Daniel.
I'm having trouble focusing on key areas and not bouncing around trying to keep all the plates spinning. How do you prioritize key functions?
1 hour at a time. And I'm being very serious about that. And if you will think about it in 1 hour, 90 minute, 45 minute chunks, say, look, I mean, I hate filling out these government forms online, but it's like, all right, this is the hour I'm gonna do it. Missy got on the phone with me. We walked through, you know, she walked me through it. And I had Laura standing by who handles our accounting at Greg Crabtree's place. And I said, all right, that's my goal for this hour. And then it was done. We had focused on what we could on the cash piece. And then it was time to move on to the next project. So literally, I'm serious, 1 hour at a time.
That's awesome. Thank you. He said, experimenting seems to be dangerous during this time. How do you advise you better pivot your business? How can you not take the risk of pivoting?
I apologize. I don't really even get that question. I don't see what the risk is at all. And in fact, you've got a lot of people that, here's what surprised me, Daniel, at our summit last Thursday. You know, our whole brand promise is to be quick, get you actionable tools that work and, you know, are practical. But you know what came out of the hundreds of comments from last week that were sent to me, and I thank everybody, if you're on that did, was most importantly, they were inspired. And I think out there swinging for the fences and trying things is very inspiring. And if somebody is insulted by it, then, you know, be kind, be calm, and move on. You know, I sent out these daily messages that I hope were helpful, but I had some folks that were angry at me, and we didn't let it bother us. They said, hey, remove us from the list. And we removed them from the list and we're ready to move on for those who would like to be helped.
That's awesome. Can you quickly recap the 5 C's for managing a crisis?
Yeah. So there are five, and the number one of five is to communicate daily. Number two is to really focus on both your customers and your community. That's making that list and reaching out and seeing how you can help. Number three then is cleaning up, doing spring cleaning, if you would, of your processes, your website, and getting rid of all the dumb stuff in there that's in people's way, and really being clear even how you're going to prune the product lines that you're going to go focus on, as Tomas is in Panama. Number four then is really focusing around cash, 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 including the theme that we shared Gene Brown's focused on right now at Citibin. And then number five is just along the way, make sure you remain calm and considerate. And the simplest way to do that is just before you're making a phone call, before you're gonna have a conversation, before you think you're gonna blow up, take a couple of deep breaths. And I want everyone to just try right now. And you know, right now, because of this virus, we just need to all be thankful if you can take a couple of deep breaths.
Our company has many ideas on how to pivot and get reinvented, but our weakness is the ability to execute fast. How does scaling up on the program help us execute fast?
Well, this is why, here's what's interesting. So you want to go back to John Ratliff. So John was a student of mine at that MIT program, Birthing of Giants, like you were and many, many others. And he got all fired up about these ideas. He went back and his team looked at him like he had, you know, two heads. They just didn't want to get going. There's change is difficult. So he comes back a year later, gets all fired back up again, and he goes back and he still can't get any progress. And then that's when we had hosted our very first 2.5-day program, which is exactly what all these videos are that are online. And John, and he couldn't afford it, but he grabbed 13 of his leaders, drove down to this bunker-like place at the Xerox Center. And it was crazy. About 2.5 hours in, his team looked at him. It's like, John, this is amazing. We got to be doing this. And he likes the kid. At that moment, he wanted to wring every one of their necks. And that's why we've always been adamant, get everybody in the company to read the book. You know, we've got a free chapter just called The Barriers that you can do it for free. Just go to scalingup.com, look at a picture of the book, and you're going to see a free chapter on how to run strategic planning and a free chapter called The Barriers. The more people you can get on board, and that's why I really do encourage teams to go through this instead of by yourself. That's the best we can do, I think, to help you speed stuff up. And again, we're going to be able to coach you through, as I am my client, how to look at this one step at a time. Piece together small wins.
Okay. And the last two questions before we go. And by the way, I want to thank, we already have 20 companies that applied for the program. So how big does a company need to be to hire a coach? And they are three co-founders. They said, hey, do we need three coaches or just one coach?
Proof has a coach, and they had him that weekend in the first 3 days they launched. And so three's fine. I don't think you need three different coaches, but I do think it's critical that each of you also have a peer coach. And that is that one person, because Steve Watkins also is building a company as I am, where our families are close. We know each other well, and we can hold each other's feet to the fire. And so I think that's what's important, is everyone get a peer coach. But in terms of the scaling up, you just need one coach for the team. And I do it at the beginning.
Yeah. And I just removed that so you and I talk directly to the camera, to the team. We still have over 1,000 people here. So yeah. Guys, we really want to thank you. As Vern said, we're the first responders of the economy. It's our duty and our job to be able to give that clarity to our teams and our communities, and be able to come out strong. So thank you for being here, Vern. What do you want to tell to the entrepreneurs of the world?
All right, take care.
Thank you all. Thank you for being here. We'll send the recording tomorrow so you can all see it. And come to the program. Let's all together go through this and be able, with the community, with the tools and help from Vern, to pivot our company and come out stronger.
Thank you. And I look forward to working with the 40 companies that sign on. It's going to be fun.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Bye. Yeah. Thank you all that came. We had, as I said, over 20 companies already applying. So see you. And please apply, get into a phone with one of our mentors so they could help you go through the process. Alex, thank you very much for hosting this and making sure everything runs smoothly. Have a great day, all.